Well, we're back at 25 minutes to 10 with the WGXC Morning Show. And Tracy Herling is here to explain to us what exactly the project is and how it, you know, the collaboration, how did it get started? Tracy, I'm going to give you the floor.
Oh, thank you, Phil. I'm the president of the founder of the Prison Public Memory Project. We now have a growing team of contributors. And the project really grew out of an experience I had when I was making a film across the river about a maximum security prison called Coxsackie. And I was researching the history of that prison and interviewing an elderly man who used to be a guard at the Coxsackie prison in Greene County. And it turned out that he had come to Greene County from New York City, where he was a guard at a place called the House of Refuge, which was the first juvenile prison in the United States. So he had been transferred up to Coxsackie when they created something called the Boys Training School. So I became very, very interested at that point in prison history, but that was in 1997, and I let it go. But 10 years later, I came back to it and began to think about all of the stories, all of the people whose lives have been intertwined with prisons in many, many, many rural towns across the country, including those in Hudson and in Coxsackie across the river. So my partner and I, Allison Cornyn, who is a wonderful web-based storyteller based in Brooklyn, began to think about what it would be like to create a virtual center for prison memories.
Wow.
Where people could, whose lives had been intertwined with the prison, either because they worked there, their relatives worked there, or they were involuntarily incarcerated there. Could share their stories.
How does that work?
Well, essentially, we do live interviews in the field. We've been working for a year and a half in Hudson, and we've been on the ground interviewing people who have a direct relationship with the prison here in Hudson, which has a very, very rich history going back to 1887. And then what we created a website. That's what I meant by virtual center, where it's an interactive website, and the URL is www.prisonpublicmemory.org. And if you go to the site, you can read the stories. You can hear audio clips from our interviews with people, and you can write in and ask us questions, give us answers, identify people in photographs that we've collected, but we don't know who they are. So we're really reaching out to the community to help us do this project and contribute to the project.
Hey, if you happen to be sitting around at your desk right now, go to that website, prisonpublicmemory.org. I'm on it right now looking at it. And those photos are fantastic. Now, are those originals?
Well, we scanned them from people, you know, many people in Hudson have photos going back, and they consider them family photos, and many people don't realize how historically important the photos are. And they can be anything from, you know, photos of people who were at the facility, working photos, picnics. We have this wonderful photo that was sent in by a Hudson resident of some men who worked on the maintenance crew in the 1950s. So we've actually put that on the website, and now we're reaching out to the community to help us identify who those men are so that we can then find them and record their stories.
Yeah, and I see you have some very interesting tidbits about what was actually going on here in Hudson. The House of Refuge for Women. And you were telling me some interesting tidbits about who was involuntarily, the people that we might know who were involuntarily housed at the correctional center.
Yes, well, this prison has had three lives, three very, very interesting lives. the first life it had was as a house of refuge for women. And it was the first house of refuge for women, the first reformatory for women in New York State. And it was built in 1887. That closed in 1904, and it was turned into the New York State Training School for Girls, which essentially was a place where girls who got in trouble on the streets with the courts, or whose parents felt that they needed help in controlling them, were sent. They were sent to Hudson. They were ages 12 to 16. And one of the very famous personalities who was sent to Hudson for a year, perhaps over a year, was Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, wow. And isn't that something? I had no idea. And Ella Fitzgerald was there, do you know what year?
We know she was there in the 30s, in the early 30s. There's a wonderful, we have on the website, a wonderful article that was written by a New York Times reporter, Nina Bernstein. And she came up in 1997 and interviewed Hudson residents who had been working at the school, at the training school, at the time that Ella was there. And she has some wonderful stories about Ella singing in the church, in the local church here in Hudson. I believe it was the, help me, Phil, A.M. Zion Church?
Church.
And this is a wonderful, also a wonderful fact that people don't know, is that she actually was paroled from Hudson, from the Girls Training School, to the Chick Webb Orchestra. Whereas, you know, she was discovered.
Yes, well, and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, how is this interactive? Can people get involved in this, in the project, other than actually being a viewing it? Can people
Absolutely.
Become a participant, and how?
There are several ways you can become involved. One is when you are on the website, we have comment boxes after every story. And we want you to use this space to share your personal stories, your photos. You can send them in through our website, and your recollection of places. We've had already had people, we just launched last week, and we've already had people writing in, telling their stories. If you'd like to remain unidentified to people who go on the site, you can remain anonymous. Otherwise, it's just simply a name that appears in the box. So you can also share your knowledge. Many people in communities like Hudson have very specific knowledge of certain portions of the history of the prison. And we encourage you to share share your knowledge. We will put up some questions that we have on the website under a category we call Do You Know? And these are questions we have that we can't find answers to. So that if you can help us, we would appreciate it. And as a matter of fact, we are going to offer a prize to the person who can help us through that particular category, Do You Know the Most?
Wow-wee. And that they do through the website?
Correct.
Okay.
We're also, however, creating community-based events. We are in the process of developing two events. One will be held in the fall at the Hudson Library, where we have done some research, and the History Room is a wonderful resource for facts and information on the prison. And also we'll be holding a spring event, which we will do probably, hopefully, a separate show about.
Well, and this is the type of thing we can keep up with. This we can have you come in here every now and then when something new is going on, and keep us abreast of what's happening.
Oh, we'd love to.
Okay, that is the Prison Public Memory Project, and the website is prisonpublicmemory.org, and it's really an interactive website. You can go in there And if you have what you're looking for is if anybody has any experiences that they would like to relate. It's kind of like what we do here. We always say, if you have something, come on board. That's why we do it here. So that is really very interesting. I hope that you'll be back again to tell us more. Is there anything else?
Two things. One is, yes, our Facebook page. We would encourage you to to look for us on Facebook at Prison Public Memory Project. And also, would like to thank WGXC, who will be co-sponsoring our fall event at the library. And we'll be back to tell you more about that at a later time.
Yeah, that ought to be fun. So they're on Facebook, Prison Public Memory, and they are also the website, Prison Public Memory. Boy, this is going to be exciting to watch this grow and see what happens with it. Tracy Herling of the Prison Public Memory Project. And since